Book of Isaiah chapter 60, as we begin our series on acceleration, speed, quickness, moving faster, immediacy. All of us are familiar with this text of Isaiah chapter 60, as God, through the prophet Isaiah, is prophesying to the nation of Israel. Isaiah prophesies through four different kings. And actually, the book of Isaiah is called the miniature Bible. It has 66 chapters. And if you read the first 39 chapters, much of it is about the doom and gloom surrounding the nation of Israel. But the last 27 chapters are the restoration, the remnant, the hope, the new Jerusalem, the kingdom that God has promised. So as you read the last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah, you will find much of it is about hope and the restoration of the nation of Israel, even though they are a divided kingdom at the moment, and even though they are under Babylonian rule. So it is in that background that chapter 60 is written, where God says to the nation, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Now, it says, "Arise and shine," or "Arise, shine." Is that right? So, that means the expectancy is that rising and shining will happen at the same time. It does not mean that you would rise and then in another 5 years you will shine. It is expected that it would happen at the same time. It's like when God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. It happens at the same time. That means as you speak, it must be happening. Then there's a place before you speak, it would happen. That's because your thoughts are the thoughts of God. So while you are thinking about it, it can take place. So that means if you have a thought to bless someone, while you are thinking about it, the resource can come. Because your thoughts are God's thoughts. God's thoughts is always to bless, to prosper, and to promote. So if you're having the same thoughts, He resources those thoughts. And that's even before you ask Him. Are you listening? Or even before you say to the person, "I will do it." He can bring the immediacy of that into your life. There are many examples in the scriptures of acceleration. I will give you a few this morning. But as a base text, when God is saying to the nation, "Arise, shine," He expects it to happen at the same time. We all understand that? Now, the word "arise" is a very intricate word, but we'll just focus on a few meanings regarding it. One of the meanings of the word "arise" is to establish yourself, is to make yourself stable, is to lay a strong foundation, is to bring stability into your life. Are we together? So, when God says arise, He means begin to place order into your life and establish yourself. So, do you know that the shining is connected to the way in which you establish yourself? How you make yourself secure, how you make yourself strong, how you make yourself fixed, how you make yourself permanent, how you become a pillar, how you become someone that can be relied on, how you become someone that is tremendously faithful. So, when God says arise, He's talking about a person that is established. One of the other meanings of the word arise is the word covenant. So, God is saying to you, when you arise, you must establish covenant. So, many people in the scriptures, when God wanted to use them, He always firstly established a covenant with them. He did that with Abraham, He did that with Noah, He did that with Jacob. Are we together? So, in terms of establishing you, He expects firstly that a covenant would be made. So, if someone is really going to shine, one of the key factors in their life is covenant. They are a covenant people. And because they are covenant, you will find that they become established, they become strong. Because they are covenant, you will find that their foundation is very strong. Otherwise, you will find lots of flexibility, or should I say instability, lots of double-mindedness, lots of insecurities, lots of indecisiveness, the inability to make decisions quickly. You will find that they are unstable in all their ways. Why? Because they are not established in an environment of covenant. Now, if you enter a realm of covenant, you will find that it is a stable environment. So when you walk into a home where there's a strong marriage and there's strong relationships between children and parents, you walked into an established environment. You walked into a risen environment. You walked into something that is arisen. Are you listening? You walked into an environment where you were finding great stability. And immediately when you walk into that environment, you will walk into security. You will walk into something where you feel secure, where you feel strong, where you feel wanted, where you feel like this is an environment that I belong in. Because you find it's a stable environment. And that's what arise means. Are we getting it? Okay. Now, why does God say to the nation of Israel, arise? Is it because they are sleeping? No, it's because they are divided. It's because there are two kingdoms. It's because they are now going to go under Babylonian rule and they will be divided. So he's talking to them in the context of their current historical condition of being divided as a nation. There was northern kingdom, southern kingdom. There was a division in the nation. And therefore, he is saying to them, arise. All getting it? Bring stability. Return to the covenant that you had with me. Return to the fact that I am your father. I am your husband. I am the one that brought you out of Egypt. I took care of you. I nurtured you. I grew you. I fed you. And bring stability back into your life. So, if you expect your life to move faster, if you expect acceleration in your life, if you expect pace, if you expect to be on the highway and not on the byway, if you expect some kind of movement in the right direction, you have to come into an established environment. You have to come into something that is an arisen position. You have to become fixed in something. Are we all together? Okay? So even in your own circumstance, your own life, your own surroundings, your personal life, ask yourself, are you an arisen person? In other words, have you experienced resurrected life in your own life? Have you come to the place of being stable, of being trustworthy, of being someone that you know that people can believe, that if you say you're going to return the call, you return the call? That's an established person. Are you listening to me? Okay, if you say you're going to pay something, that you pay it. Or that if you can't, you make arrangements so that people give you what we call a creditworthiness. So you have to be established. Because to accelerate your life, there has to be some sort of stability that has to come into your being. And so if you meandering and you in a Galilee position where you're just circling all the time, then how many of you know there's a rod in Galilee? It's called Cana. When Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, this is where the turning of water into wine took place. It was the first miracle. And you know that it happened in a place of a wedding feast or a place where there was a marriage. So when the Bible says he comes to Cana of Galilee. The word Cana means a branch, a rod, a reed, a stem. It ties up with Isaiah chapter 11 where God says, I will raise up a branch, a rod out of the stem of Jesse and he will become the Christ. Are we all together? So that means in the midst of life that's going round and round and meandering, or a circle life where everyone is just meandering around, there's a people that become a standard. There's a people that show that they are the rod, that show they are the reed, that show that they are the branch of the law. They reflect a life of stability. They reflect that I'm an established person. They reflect strength in the way in which they show that they are arisen. And people around you are looking for stable people because they are always faced with incompetence. Everywhere you go, you can go to any shop, any department, you will be faced with a high level of incompetence. And that comes from a people that are highly unstable. You'll be in an environment where no one can keep time, where no one can make your food properly, where no one can pour you a drink properly, where no one can serve you properly. And in that kind of environment, which we call Galilee, there's an expectation of a first fruit company that rises up. and shows a standard. Are we all together? Shows this is what it's meant to be like. And God is saying to this nation in the midst of Babylon, rise up. And then he says to them, shine. And he expects you to do it at the same time. You can't take 10 years to rise up and then take another 20 years to shine. By then I'll be doing your funeral. He expects it to happen parallel. Now that's speed. That's quickness. To close the gap between arising and shining. To close the gap between what God says and what does. And what God does. Because what he says and does is immediate. And it should be the same for you and me. Hello? You see, if God says that I will be prosperous, why is it taking so long? If God says that I will be healed, why is it taking so long? Those are questions you've got to ask yourself as the sons of God. Because it's not God's problem, because he already wrote the covenant or the testament. It's already finalized on his part. That's why you just sang a song this morning to say it is finished. Are we all together? So the problem is not God. It's not. It's somewhere we are slowing ourselves down. Ask the nation of Israel that. Because 11 days took 40 years. So someone slowed the movie. Are we together? Okay? So, in our own lives, if there are certain things that we are not accelerating in, I have to sit back and do an evaluation and ask myself, am I really stable? Am I in a risen position? Am I in a covenant? Besides the fact that I'm in covenant with God, have I covenant with someone on the earth to reflect that covenant that I have with God himself? And if not, then I need to make changes. I need to repent. That's what change means. I need to bring myself to repentance and bring myself into alignment with that which God has planned for me so that I can see those promises come quicker and quicker and quicker in my life. Amen? If it's taking so long, you've got to examine texts like 1 Corinthians 10 where we did a series called Fast Tracking. And in that series, we covered the five sins of the nation of Israel that slowed them down. Idolatry, sexual immorality, they tested God. All of those things that they did. And it slowed their pace down. Amen? So, when I say arise and shine, they say that light moves at 300 million meters per second. That's fast. Okay? But sound moves at 343 meters per second. Now that's slow compared to light. How many of you know what you do moves quite faster than what you say? And we are in a period where all your hearing must turn into seeing or doing. That's how quick it must be. In the book of John, there's a description of Jesus. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, there's a description that John is giving us of Jesus. And he describes him. And then this happens. He says, and I turn to see the voice that spoke with me. Now, how many of you know he was hearing the description, and in a second when he turned around, he saw the entire description. That's how it has to be. That as much as you are hearing, you are the Son of God, you are the manifestation, you are the light, you are this, you are that, you are this, you are that, you are this, you are that. Man, I want to see it. No one believes what you say. Everyone believes what you do. If they can see it, they will believe it. So, if I expect to see acceleration, what I say and what I do must be immediate. It must happen at the same time. Amen? So, if you make a promise to someone, that means if your yes is yes, let it be yes. If your no is no, let it be no. Amen? Okay? So, we have to examine, how do I push myself at this pace now? How do I bring myself to that pace? Or I need to examine what is slowing me down. What are the things that are not making me move faster and faster? What are the things that are really making my life actually move at a slower pace? Because when the disciples were sent out and they came back, what did Jesus say? He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Come on, that's fast now. You know how fast lightning strikes. So that means if these guys were sent out and they believed what Jesus said, it happened so fast. Okay? So we need to begin to examine the scriptures over the next couple of weeks, draw out case studies, look at them, and also analyze our lives and not bring ourselves under critical analysis, but know that there are certain things that God has said about us. But at the same time, find out what are those things that I have to do so that I can accelerate my life. I got to find out why am I not seeing the kind of pace that God describes in the scriptures for me. Work it out for myself. Amen? And as much as it can be declared, it can be decreed, it can be claimed, it can be commanded, it can be imparted, it can be imputed, it doesn't happen unless you do certain things. It just doesn't. There are certain demands that has to happen on your part. Amen? There are things you will have to do to actually see that pace take place. To see the movement happen quicker and quicker. So verses like, the sower will overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes. In the book of Acts chapter 9, all of those verses that mean God can break every agricultural law in your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Every law that is defined by agriculture, which is a law of this earth, he can break it because he can take that which you're supposed to get as the sower, he can make you reap it. Amen? So, what are some of the things that the Bible describes as acceleration? Let me give you a few examples which you can go and take down, examine in your own time to know that acceleration is possible, right? Now, in Genesis chapter 1, when God created light on the first day, the Bible says, and here's the acceleration, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Is that right? And the Bible uses the word, in the beginning. In the beginning, what did God create? He created the heavens and the earth. Are you listening now? Please listen to me carefully. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then on the first day, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, God creates that which governs and sustains, and he creates that in which you live and preserve your life in. He creates both realms because one has to sustain the other. Listen to me now. So, if God creates the heavens, which is the place of governance and sustenance, and he creates the earth, which is the place of where I live or the preservation of my life, do you know he creates the heavens to sustain the earth? So you can't sustain. Now what are we doing? We are sustaining ourselves by the earth, not by that which God created to sustain the earth. So why does life move slow? Because I'm trying to live by this realm, rather by the realm that God has designed to govern and sustain me. That's why we say, our Heavenly Father. Heaven is your throne. The earth is your footstool. Now, while the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest time, which means I sow and I reap, I work, I do all the stuff that has to happen. But in order for those things to grow, it has a heavenly connection. So when he creates the heavens and the earth, he creates everything that the earth is supposed to be living by in the heavens. So where does he place the sun, moon, and the stars? Are you getting what I'm saying? And the earth cannot survive without the sun, moon, and the stars because it will not orbit, it will not produce, there will be no oxygen, there will be no carbon dioxide, there will be no life for anything to live without those elements in the heavens. So when you look at the sky, what do you see? You see the sun, moon, and the stars. And in the sun, moon, and the stars, the earth revolves around that. But that's not what gives the earth light. Because when God created light on the first day, it was not that light. Because that light was created on the fourth day. That means everything for the first 3 days was living by something else. It was living by another light. So God will call you sons of light. He will call you sons of the day. He will call His Son the light. He will say, you are the light. Everything about that is speed. Everything about that is acceleration. Everything about that is 3 million meters per second. So when you walk as sons of the day, when you walk as sons of light, everything about that is acceleration. It's about fast. It's about pace. It's about moving at an accelerated speed. Amen. So that light that was created on the first day, and you know the word first is first in time, first in rank, first in place. The word beginning is the word receipt, which means the same thing. First. It also means that the word beginning is the word first fruit. So how do I know that you are a son of the light? You live by the principle of first things. Come on, I'm taking you on a journey this morning. If you live on the principle of first things, your life moves faster. What do I mean by that? That means when you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you do? What is the first thing you do with your first minute? What is the first thing you do with your first hour? What is the first thing you do with your first words? Are you listening to me? Everything that's connected to the principle of first. What is the first thing you do when you receive your money? What is the first thing you do with time? What is the first thing you do with relationships? Everything is connected to first. So if I live on the principle of beginning, in the beginning, God creates. Everything I do first, it creates. I told you that. I shared this with you before already. Everything you do first creates. So how am I going to move faster? I got to respect the principle of first things. How do I accelerate my life to live by the light of God and not by the light of the sun? If I live by the light of God, I live by the principle of first things. So what is the first thing that comes to my mind when I wake up in the morning? And it's, oh God, I got the same spouse. I was hoping overnight you'd change it. You already created something. Are you listening to me? My advice to you when you wake up in the morning, don't talk to your wife or your husband. Talk to God first. All the other things will work itself out. So, when you wake up in the morning, the first thought on the mind of every Israelite was, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And they will quote it. 3 times a day, it was called the Shema, and they will remind themselves that their existence is because of Yahweh. They live for nothing else. That was the first thing that grabbed them. Amen. The first thing we wake up is, I got to pay this account. I got to go to town. I got to do this. I got to go to the bank. You got your list. You got your reminders. You got your notes. You got points on your phone. You got a whole lot of stuff. Somewhere just put their God. Put God, G-O-D, just put him in there somewhere. Because your life is filled with so much of stuff. Stuff that can't help you. Stuff that belongs to this earthy place. So, if I want life to move quicker, he has to be the centrality of my life. He has to be the first person I think about when I wake up. Amen? You should be waking up with a song. You should be waking up speaking in tongues. You should be waking up with a scripture. Because when you slept, it was also the last thing. And the principle of first and last is to meet at the same point because the earth is round. Everything about life is connected on the principles of cycles. Seasons are cyclic. Amen? The earth moves on an orbit. All that we do is on a cycle. Day to day is cycle. Month to month is cycle. Year to year it's cycle. Everything is connected on cycles. Your tax year is a cycle. The year end is a cycle. It's all connected on cycles. And I believe even in the seasons of God, everything is coming to the point of the beginning. First. So whatever you do last is going to be connected to what you're going to do first. So if you went to bed arguing, very likely. Unless you have a visitation or something. That when you wake up, you will be having the same thoughts about what you slept with. That's if you slept. Amen? So, if I want to see my life move faster, let's get the beginning right. If I want to see the light of a new day, first day, the light of that day, in the beginning, God created, I have got to learn to live in the cycle that God is the last thing on my mind and is the first thing on my mind. And His thoughts will become my thoughts. And as I do that, it's going to craft a new way of living, new way of thinking. It's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Hello? It will create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, that's despite the fact that you have pains in your body, that your tent is shredding and getting old and it's getting weak, like Paul would say. And despite what you feel in your body and despite what you sense around you, despite the rebellious environment you live in, because you can make all the excuses to tell me it's so hard to think about God. It's dependent on what you fill your mind with. Amen? It's dependent on what you fill your mind with. Don't take your liberality to the extent of where you don't read your Bible and you don't pray because you feel we're in an environment all the time where that is done, so I don't need to do that. That's hogwash. You will not make this life. There are certain strong things in your life that must be built into your fabric, into the fabric of your Christianity. That I read, that I listen to the word, that I pray the word. Are you with me? It must be built into the fabric of your being. It's not something you do because you have it's a pastime. When you go on holiday, that fabric doesn't come out. You know, God is not on holiday. You go to certain places, that fabric must remain strong. I shared with you how it must be woven into your robe. The nature of God. Doesn't matter where you are. Ask a Muslim that. His God doesn't take a holiday. He can be anywhere. He'll find a mosque. Are you listening to me? Build it into the fabric of your being. The first thing that has to be on my mind, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the first, God. In the first of anything I do, God. In my relationships, God. In my handling of my money, God. In my house, God. In my car, God. The supreme God. The everlasting God. The eternal God. Amen? If your mind is not configured like that, thought of space for you. It's going to slow down. Amen? And you're going to wait for principles that can just accelerate you. But the person of Christ. Because you're always thinking about how to make more money. No, just think God. You're always thinking how you're going to solve your problems. Just think God. First. Because many times when I have to sit and talk to people about their problems, they never thought about what God says. They're always thinking about themselves and this and this and this. And I listen to all of that. But I want to know, what does God say? You can take the tablets, you can go for holidays, you can do all that stuff. And it's important to do all. But what does God say? Amen? That's the first thing I want to consult. And we'll solve your problem quickly. Many people's problems you can solve in 3 minutes. Because what they think is a mountain. Hello? It's not too big. And it's simply because the God factor is out. But if you say that you are the Son of God, you are washed by His blood, you have been cleansed, you have been forgiven, you need to know the God factor always remains. You can't take it out of any situation. I don't care how bad the situation is, I want to know God. What does He say? Is the first thing on my mind. And if I can do that, it can accelerate the process. It can accelerate the process quickly. But if you take Him out of the equation, man, you're going to struggle. Okay? So, God creates on the first day. He creates heavens and the earth, everything that has to be sustained. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Paul is writing to the Ephesians church, which is basically a Gentile church, on how they should walk in the Lord. And so he talks to them about walking in love, walking in the Spirit, walking in wisdom. As you read the chapters, you will find all of that, right? And that walk is developed by fivefold grace that God places in you, which is listed in Ephesians chapter 4. So you connect with fivefold grace that grows your spirit to walk in love, walk in wisdom, etc. And so in Ephesians 5 verse 15, as he's talking to them, he says, walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Then he uses this term, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Now, how many of you know you're not losing time? You are redeeming time. If you are redeeming time, then you're moving quicker. Are we all together? Okay? You are redeeming the time. Now, the word circumspectly simply means to walk diligently, accurately, or exactly. So when we say walk circumspectly, it means to walk accurately, diligently, or exactly. Have you got that? Okay. Now, then it says, to redeem the time. And the word redeem means to buy back, to ransom, to rescue from loss. So do you know that what you lost, when you begin to redeem, in terms of walking exactly, accurately, and diligently, even that which you lost can be redeemed. Because if you choose to walk the other way, it will take you longer to recover from that loss. But there's a way in which you can redeem that which you've lost. Hello? And how do you do it? He says, redeem, walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time. Now, when you look at the word time there, the word time is not reference to natural time, where we have hours, days, minutes, etc. The word time there is a reference to kairos. The word kairos simply means God's time, or God's appointed time, or God's set time. So this is what it means. In the kairos of God, He releases certain things through the words of the servants of the Lord. Are you listening to me? His voice articulates certain things in the kairos of God. You got that part? If I walk exactly to what is released in the time of God, if I walk diligently, accurately, and exactly in what God is saying in His time, I redeem the time. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, firstly, you have to discern that there is a thing called kairos, which are called the seasons of God. In that season, God releases certain doctrines, certain teachings, certain ways, certain patterns, certain pathways, certain principles, even if you want to call it that. These things will be connected to the eternal God. That's why the Bible will tell you eternity is in your heart. So, in fact, that thing that God releases in a certain time is already in your heart. It is a matter of being decoded by revelation from the scripture, searched out, and released in the set time of God. Okay? So, when he releases it, what does he expect a people to do once it is released? He expects them to walk circumspectly. Exactly, diligently, accurately. When you walk in it, you can redeem that which is lost. You have to really ponder about what I'm saying. Think about it, okay? You getting it? So, if I want my life to move faster, it's very simple. When certain things are being said in the time frame of God, I have to make sure that I accurately walk in it. I've got to begin to practice and see it come into fulfillment in my life. That means if I hear it, then I must do it. Now you've got to work out what is God saying in a certain time frame. And then you've got to ask yourself, am I walking in it? So if God is saying in a certain time frame and he's talking to you about how the church is not an institution, that the church is a household and it is constructed on the basis of a family of fathers and sons, and you walk into an environment like that, you must begin to receive it and walk accurately in it. Then what you're going to do? You're going to redeem the time. If you hear that God is saying in a certain time frame that the gospel of salvation has shifted to the gospel of the kingdom, you've got to walk in it. You've got to believe it. You've got to walk exactly in it. If God is saying that the church is not going to disappear, but it's going to appear, you've got to walk in it. I can go on and on giving you the list of what God can say in a current kairos. But the moment you hear it, you have to do it. But if you're still studying it for another 5 years and working out whether it's true or not, and trying to connect all the scriptures, the time is gone. Hello? So, you accelerate your life because things are said in a kairos and you walk in it. Exactly. Amen? You see, my life is not very complicated. I'll tell you why it's not complicated. As much as I hear God and I know what he is saying, I also have a father. And I know that my father also hears God. When I spend time with him, some of the things sometimes he tells me, I already can sense in my spirit. I have impressions about it. But if there are things he says that maybe I don't fully understand, are you listening to me? Okay? I don't fully understand. But I will pray for 1 or 2 days. And once I receive the impression that what he is saying is the truth, I just begin to walk in it. So my life is not complicated. Hello? I just walk in it. And as I walk in it, I see what happens. As I try to do it exactly, diligently, and accurately, I see what happens. And so, I can redeem the time. Have you got that? So, if you want your life to move fast, principles are first things. Have you got that? Second is, you got to know how to redeem the time. Now, you see, the Bible says in Romans 9, verse 28, for ye will finish the work, cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work on the earth. Another version of the Bible uses the word quick. So, God wants to do a quick work on the earth. Finish it in what? Righteousness. So, if I want to accelerate my life, what must I walk in? And we know that Jesus is the King of righteousness. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his. All these things will be added unto you. Now, if you carry on walking in unrighteousness, all these things will be subtracted from you. Yeah. You must read the other side of it. But if you walk in righteousness as he has demanded or asked of, and has showed you the path, and you walk in it, then all these things will be added unto you, and you will see the quick work of God. That he can cut it short, that means he can take your debt from 20 years, make it 5 years. Hello? Just because I choose to walk in righteousness. Because I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, anything I need can be added to my life. Hello? Okay? You see, how did Hezekiah's life get extended? And it happened so quickly. It's because he reminded God of his righteousness. When Isaiah prophesied to him, he said, set your house in order for you will die. He went into the wall and he began to pray and he wept before the Lord. And he said, Lord, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. At your word, I did all these things. And before Hezekiah could leave the court, the Lord spoke to him again and said, go and tell Hezekiah that I've extended his life by 15 years. Why? His righteousness answered for him. How many of you know that was a quick word? That was supposed to happen overnight was now extended for 15 years. Accelerated answer to his prayer simply because of righteousness. Amen? Simply because of righteousness. Now, turn with me to Luke 5, verse 4 to 7. Just give me 5 minutes more, okay? Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 7. All of us are familiar with the story where Peter and his crew are fishing the whole night and they are not catching anything. Okay, nothing is happening. And so, when they come and they are on the shore, and Jesus is speaking, and then he stops speaking. And he actually gets into their boat, and he's teaching, and then he stops speaking, and he says to Simon, in verse number 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, and caught nothing. Now that's slow. Come on now, if you work the whole night and you got nothing to show for it, zero. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that it began to sink. You see, you can toil in the labor of your hands, or you can rest in the obedience of a word. Toiling takes longer. Hello? Toiling takes longer. Obedience makes it quicker. That means that which you worked for a whole night, in response to one word and you obey, it can happen immediately. So a whole night's catch can happen at one response. That's how quick it can be. Obedience to the word, a word that is declared in time and in season, and you choose to obey it. What you worked for the whole night can happen in one moment. Now, more than that, not just for you, but for everyone around you. That means all your partners benefit. Hello, even the unsaved. Even they will benefit. Because all the partners around him now had to use their boats because there was so much of fish that came in. And all he said, Lord, at your word, I will let down the net. Is that right? So how do I accelerate my life? It's so easy. Obey the word. So simple. Where if I hear the word and I believe it and I do it and I'm obedient to it, I will see that which is supposed to happen for the whole night. It just happened in a short space of time. Just by obedience to the word. So how many principles you learned this morning? First one is first things. Second one is righteousness. Third one is redeem the time. And how do you redeem the time? You must walk exactly, accurately, and diligently in that which is released in the time of God. Last one is just be obedient. Just obey the word. And as you walk in obedience, what will happen? You will see the immediacy of God. The supernatural immediacy of God. Hello? You believe that? So, if life is on slow motion, I've got to check out certain things. There's some other things we will share over the next couple of weeks of how you can accelerate your life. You're going to stop renting? Hello? You're going to cut your bond down? Are you following me? You're not going to drive a broken car? And I'm not saying these things because we want you to have a prosperity gospel. I'm saying these things because it is promised to us according to the word. And if I don't have it, I must ask myself why. Amen? That's what I'm saying to you. Because these things will cause the Gentiles to seek your light. All these things you have, not for you. Who told you God gave you a car for you? Who told you he gave you a house for you? Who told you he gave you clothing for you? No. All the Gentiles must seek your light. That's what the Bible says. So all those things God will give you because your heart is purposed in this way, that when they see it, I will talk of my God and how he has provided it, not for me, but to reflect who he is. You get the difference? Are you following me? Because for me, I care less whether I drive a Toyota or a Mercedes. I'll be honest with you. For those people that know me, it doesn't. But why do the unbelievers talk to me? Because I reflect something. Why does a Muslim man respect me if I walk into his office? It's because he sees light in what I do. I mean, this guy was talking to me in one of the dealerships the other day. He had phoned me and we had an appointment. And I was talking to him. And he wanted to know what I do. He wanted to know what I do because he didn't know what I do. Are you listening to me? And here he's sitting across me and I'm on the phone. Someone phoned me and Michelle was with me that day. And so he's asking, what he does, what he does. He's whispering to her. I'm like there, but he's whispering to her. What does he do? What do you all do? And then we finally gave him the answer. He was God-smacked. He just couldn't believe it. Are you listening now? I want you to understand, all these things that will make your life move faster is so that the Gentiles might seek your light. So he makes you light so they can seek it. If you want it because you want to be an idol, forget it. If you want it because you want to treasure it and shine it every day and look at it the whole day and look at your face in it, give it up. Don't waste your time. It'll get smashed, someone will steal it, it'll get hijacked, it'll be lost. You're wasting your time. But if the heart is right, man, you can have anything you want. Anything. Anything you want. Amen? So, over the next couple of weeks, we're just going to keep declaring over your life the acceleration of God. And as you believe the word, practice it, do it, say it, and just continue to confess it, it's going to happen. Promotions are going to come, double bonuses you're going to get, commissions you never get paid, your outstanding money that's somewhere, hello, somewhere is locked up. We're going to keep speaking it, and I believe it's going to be unlocked in the next couple of months. You believe that? As we continue to speak this thing here, your compensation fund that someone locked down, kept from you, is going to come to you in the name of Jesus. All those things that were tied up somewhere, we just believe in Jesus' name that as you begin to live out these principles and reflect the person of Christ in every principle, 24 hours you're going to plunder the nation of Egypt. From a slave, you'll be a master in 24 hours. Amen. God bless you.